Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Studio C.
Senor.
So we're broadcasting from a dimly lit room deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound, surrounded by a moat and razor wire and wiener dogs. For some reason, we decided to not go vicious dogs. We went friendly dogs. Kind of cute dogs.
I questioned the decision at the time. I question it today.
But today,
they have deterred no one.
But today, we are. But the moat and the razor wire works. But today, we are under the tutelage of our general manager.
I think I've got to go with ISIS.
Wow.
I take no pleasure whatsoever in my, some would say, prescience. Last week and the week before, talking about how the whole conversation about radical Islam coexisting with the West is kind of quieted down, but it's not gone, I assured you. And the horrific attack on Moscow.
Particularly ISIS-K, which pulled off a really awful attack in Moscow over the weekend at a concert venue. And they're the same people that killed 13 of our service people in Afghanistan when we were pulling out. And they're the ones that ISIS-K, they're the ones that pulled off that big attack in Iran a couple of weeks back. They killed a whole bunch of people at that funeral.
Right.
Or whatever that was, memorial or whatever it was. Anyway, all three of those are ISIS-K, to give you an idea of how effective ISIS-K has been in the last year and a half, 2 years.
A couple of perspectives on that we'll get to today include the situation in Syria and where it kind of borders Iraq. Not kind of, it borders Iraq. and how many ISIS fighters are being held in detention camps. There's thousands of them being run jointly by us and our Kurdish allies, but that might not last forever. These huge refugee camps that also probably contain lots of ISIS fighters, these guys are just laying low. They're still there because we in the West, and I'm not suggesting we ought to change this policy, we don't just slaughter our enemies, vanquish them completely and wipe them from the face of the earth. We put them in camps for a while and then try to reintroduce them into polite society.
And they got ISIS operatives into Russia to shoot up a concert hall and kill a whole bunch of people? How are we supposed to believe ISIS-K hasn't gotten anybody across the southern border? Now, it'd be a lot harder to get a hold of a machine gun once you get into the United States, one would hope, to try to pull off that sort of thing. But God, wouldn't it be shocking if they didn't try to get somebody across the United States? Like I've been saying for years, it'd be inexplicable. It'd be like malpractice as a terrorist organization to not try.
Right. Yeah, well, I think it would be effortless for them to get fully automatic weapons. They could just alter what they have. But anyway, yeah, it's a hell of a way to start the week with this discussion, but the problem didn't go away. It just, the dust settled for a little while.
The punchline of the whole Moscow terrorist attack, of course, is that Putin then says it was Ukrainians, or it was planned by Ukraine, or Ukraine's behind it, yeah, or whatever.
Darkly hinting at Ukraine's involvement, yeah.
How about the fact that we warned Putin last week, so we've got some sort of intelligence around ISIS-K that we knew it was going to be some sort of large gathering, like a concert venue, told Putin, and he ignored us. And then the attack happens, and then he says that it was Ukraine's behind this whole thing. We warned him out loud, I guess. So it was in the press, probably so that he couldn't, after the fact, come out and say it was somebody else.
Yeah, but many Russians never heard that, and never will.
Sure. That is something.
And then, you know, it was rumored that, because Putin often does this, he announces something super unpopular after he's reelected for the umpteenth time, quote-unquote reelected. And it's thought that they're going to have a major call-up of young Russian men to go, you know, become the latest meat in the meat grinder of Ukraine. And that Putin, wily old fox that he is, sees this as a great opportunity. Hey, let's ratchet up the hatred of Ukraine, claim it was them, even if he's not very specific about it. And now, so any minute now, he might be announcing a giant call-up.
Well, his reasoning was almost hilarious. If it weren't so, you know, awful a tragedy. I mean, how many people died at the concert venue, and how many people are going to die in Ukraine with the excuse of the terrorist attack? He said they were caught headed toward Ukraine. So you're hundreds of miles away from the border, and somebody's going down the street that way, and you say, they're headed toward Ukraine. It must be Ukraine behind it. I mean, that's laughably ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, like right now, what direction's east? I'm headed toward Ukraine right now.
Especially, and I've got a great quote on this, and I'm going to butcher it slightly, but you got a situation where in one of the most surveilled cities on Earth, four heavily armed gunmen make their way through the streets and into a concert venue, shoot unopposed for a long time.
Mm.
A long time. I don't want to get the time wrong, but it was a very, very long time. And then melt away into the streets again and head for the most heavily armed border in the region. So they go from being brilliant covert terrorists to, you know, the Keystone Cops there toward the end. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then whatever people they put on TV, they're all beaten up there at the end of the day. They could have been anybody. I mean, who knows who that was?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my initial reaction was that Putin once again has killed a smallish number of his own citizens. I mean, if you measure it against the number of people dying in Ukraine, 150, 180, whatever it turns out to be, people dying in a theater is nothing to Putin. But if that can justify a big call-up of men so he can have his triumph, yeah, he would do that. Of course, I don't think he did in this case, but he would.
You're right. Rough, serious start to the brand new week. Pregnant with possibilities. So many great things could happen to you this week. Kids are on spring break all across the country, I'm told. And airports are jammed and roads are jammed and beaches and theme parks are jammed. We never went to the beach or theme park or anything when I was a kid. I think Easter break, we just stayed home. Anyway, that's what people are doing. I guess. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night. Speaking of crossing the southern border, the hilarious president of Mexico was on there. Man, he is some piece of work.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
I hadn't been following this guy's act. He does a 2-hour plus news conference every morning that the press
every
gathers.
Every morning?
On. Yes, every morning. And he just goes off on various things and just rambles forever. He's one of those kind of guys.
That's Castro-like. Fidel Castro.
Like the other day, he did one for 2.5 hours about fake news. Anyway, the main headline out of it is that he basically threatened the United States. Hey, you better do some things we want you to do, or they're going to keep coming across the border. They're going to keep coming across the border. Oh, you want to close the border? You want to stop people from coming across the border? Then I guess no cars will come across the border either. So look, he actually said you're going to pay $10,000 more for a car.
Wow.
He actually said that out loud. He, by the way, one of the things they mentioned the president of Mexico doing, he gave out the phone number of a New York Times reporter who did a negative story about him. So during one of his crazy press conferences, he puts up on the screen behind him, he says, that's the phone number of this New York Times reporter that just wrote this horrible article about me. This is a guy who lives in a country where reporters are regularly slaughtered if yes. the bad guys can get to them. And he puts the phone number up of a New York Times reporter. That's the kind of guy he is.
National Review referred to him as a two-bit cartel president. I think that is accurate. And not only is he playing footsies with the cartel, but he's trying to blackmail the U.S.
Well, he's going with a hugs, not bullets plan, he says, to try to deal with the cartels. And what was one of the other things that stood out to me as hilarious? The hugs. He sold off the presidential plane and a bunch of different things, the limo and all that sort of stuff when he took over. And now he drives around in his own Volkswagen. That's part of his hilarious act. Hmm. But anyway, we got some clips for 60 Minutes coming up a little bit later. How do you like the president of Mexico threatening the United States? They are our number one trading partner now. Number one trading partner for the biggest economy in the entire world is Mexico.
No bueno.
And he says, yo, you want to close the border? We'll close the border. He says, why do you people use so many drugs? You use so many drugs. And they're asking about fentanyl and everything like that. You're the ones that use all the drugs. We don't have a drug problem here in our country.
Well, you got a bit of one. But I tell you what, I've been hearing that argument for a very long time. Hey, there's a demand problem.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Criminals will find a way to satisfy that demand if it's high enough and profitable enough, and it is.
Yeah, the Mexican president blamed a lot of it on the disintegration of the American family. Hey, he's got a point. That's a lot of it. Anyway, we should start the show officially. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. On this, it is Monday, March 25th, the year 2024. 24 will not be a bore. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let's begin then officially. According to FCC rules and regs, the show starts at mark.
Today is the day. Former President Trump has until 11:59 p.m. tonight to pay a whopping $454 million bond.
That's a little repetitive. 11:50 to today, 11:59 p.m. tonight. Okay, we get it. But yeah, so what's going to happen there? Is Trump going to come up with the money? Is there going to be some sort of appeal that happens in some sort of weird court they were talking about on Fox and Friends? Or is she going to put yellow tape around Trump Tower and send in cops and change the locks? So I guess we'll find out.
How weird a court are we talking about? Is everybody dressed up as an animal? Or
I call anything weird.
Proceedings in pig Latin.
I call everything weird that I don't understand. And some sort of appellate court that I've never heard of that I don't get.
Okay.
And then so today, tonight, 11:59 p.m. tonight, this evening, something will happen. By then, something will happen.
Tomorrow.
How does mailbag look?
Oh, it's very good. Good start to the week.
Cool. All on the way, and you can text us anytime. 415-295-KFTC.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have to check in on the never-ending presidential race with a couple of hilarious back-and-forths on social media between the two candidates, current and former president. We'll get to that coming up. Kind of funny.
Social media jabs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I got all sorts of important stuff to talk about today. Interesting. I've got two great examples of frequently cited statistics that are utterly bull hockey.
How about this one? 3 out of 4. Is that one true or not?
That one's true. Okay. That one is true.
All right.
Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day, sent along by Kalina the Millennial. It sounds like a character from Game of Thrones. I am Kalina the Millennial, heir to the Stark fortune. Anyway, she's quoting Frederick Douglass from the excellent book by Tim Sandifer, Frederick Douglass, Self-Made Man. I love it. I loved it. I bought a bunch of copies and donated them to schools. It's really good. Really good book about a great man. Here's the quote from Frederick Douglass to an audience in 1877, and I quote, "No man has a right to live unless he lives honestly, and no man lives honestly who lives upon another." There you have it. Be not a drag on mankind. Go do something. Mailbag.
Woohoo!
Dear A&G, writes Katie Joe, after 13 years of listening to you daily, you've come to feel like wise, comfortable, stable friends that can always be counted on. Your common sense perspectives on all topics really resonate with me.
Yeah, you need better friends.
Y'all have gotten me through some hard times in my life, and I can't thank you enough. Well, that's very sweet of you to write. Thank you. And then she says some very nice things about Katie, the fabulous Katie Green, and write something very, very funny based on a recent One More Thing podcast we did, but I can't really repeat it because it's obscene-ish.
Okay.
Anyway, I wish I could because it's really funny. Moving along. Frequent correspondent Paolo with an intriguing note from the Department of Things That'll Never Happen But I Like Anyway, GoFundMe taxes. When a government program is on the ballot, like, for instance, in California, all of these stupid props, in addition to how many people want it, find out how much it's worth to them personally. One way would be for each vote to be effectively backed by how much the voter is willing to pay for it.
I like that. I don't know if GoFundMe does, but how about some deal where all the government, you get your taxes, at the end of the year, you got your taxes you got to pay, and you get to choose which programs you put your taxes into. It's like raffles at a fundraiser or whatever, you know, you get the little containers.
Sure.
There's a whole bunch of tickets in the cool prize. Not as many tickets in this prize over here, but we could do that with various government programs, and if everybody could take their tax money and go put it in a program, I think some programs would be funded quite quickly. I think some programs would get no money at all. Or not very much.
But one of the cleverest scams ever designed by crooked politicians is that they make a populist, the rich must pay their fair share, don't balance the budget on the backs of the working class, blah, 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 arguments that try to narrow taxation as much as possible. California has been great at this, for instance, because the greatest enemy of stupid, wasteful government programs is broad taxation. The idea is if enough people feel like their money is being taken to fund the government, then they're much more interested in rooting out bad governance. But if you can narrow it, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, that's the problem with my little funny plan there, is that half of America does not pay taxes. So they're going to say, hey, you rich people, fund them all. Go ahead.
Chuck from Vancouver. Chuck from Vancouver, Washington writes, freedom of the press and the freedom to tell outright lies should not be treated the same. Well, Chuck, I understand what you're driving at, but if you grant somebody, anybody's, the power to censor based on that's not true, you end up with what we saw in COVID. Better to attend to the problems of too much freedom than too little. Then he says abusing the legal system should be a crime in and of itself. I'm sure he's thinking of the Letitia James crime against democracy. I agree with you on that one. Let's see. Oh, Marina from San Diego says, I'm surprised that Jack and his boys haven't watched Shark Tank. Provides a huge education on how business actually works. I thought I had a handle on basic economics, having a small business myself, but I was shocked at how many businesses bring in millions without turning a profit. Panel breaks down every aspect of a business. What are the margins? What's the cost of customer acquisition? What's the rate of repeat customers? On and on. Fast-paced, really great family entertainment.
Wow, I've never watched it. That sounds awesome.
Thanks, Marina. Appreciate the tip.
Well, check that out. We've got the hilarious back and forth between the two presidential candidates. I'd like to get to. I want all of you to take a good long look at yourselves about the way you treated Kate Middleton and a whole bunch of other things that are on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what Letitia James could do, freeze President Trump's bank and brokerage accounts, collect rent from his tenants, initiate proceedings to seize those properties as well as the cash. The president, though, has some legal avenues of his own. He can appeal to higher courts. He can sell properties to raise cash. He can seek financial assistance from wealthy supporters. And, of course, he could sell stock in Truth Social. What a big day for the former president today.
Yeah, some of it has to do with this this Letitia James woman who's hell-bent on, like, a touchdown dance and getting a lot of, you know, social media credit for bringing down Trump. Because in a normal situation, from what I understand from watching lawyers talk, you would, if the person was demonstrating the effort to get the money, you would extend it. You see, our justice system is not built around punishing people you don't like and making it hard, as hard as you can for them. I mean, there was a judgment. He has to pay the money. So instead of just trying to like ruin him or embarrassing him or whatever, you'd see that he's making an effort. Okay, you could sell some stuff, but you're not going to be able to sell it in the next 18 hours, obviously. So, you know, we'll extend the deadline by this much rather than seize your stuff. But she wants the big splashy television cameras there, seizes tower thing. She wants that.
Right, which I continue to think plays into Trump's hands and plays into America's hands, honestly, because this is an utterly obscene, obviously political prosecution. A woman who ran on, I'm going to get Trump for something, utilized the ancient law that's never been used in this way to get him, found a compliant judge to issue a bizarre, I mean, Eighth Amendment violating probably a huge fine, and then again, the touchdown dance and making it as difficult as possible. I just think it's going to focus Americans on how incredibly egregious and dangerous this is.
In a moment, a funny post from Trump and Biden's response, and then just their two really different strategies at this point in the campaign. Can get to that in a second. But let's hear a little more from that Fox report about what could happen today or what the possibilities are around this deadline.
There's a process here. She can't just unilaterally start grabbing stuff. I mean, it just begins the process. First, right. You got to send out subpoenas to the financial institutions, figure out where bank accounts are, brokerage accounts are. Those subpoenas have to come back to you. Then you have to, once you've ascertained where assets are, right. Then you go to court to Judge Engoron to try to get a lien. So it takes months, potentially years, to even make a substantial dent in this amount.
So it sounds like this deadline will come and go, probably, with not much fanfare, and we'll all wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it trips a trigger for a months-long process.
Okay.
Especially if you're dealing with real estate. A lawyer who previously worked in the AG's office said seizing real estate is extraordinarily cumbersome. It's far harder than going to a bank, like to seize a bank account.
So I have a theory for why this is happening. You can tell me what yours is. Trump has held just one single campaign event since he locked up the nomination on March 12th, and that was that big speech he gave in Ohio a week or so ago, where he the variety of things he said, you know, blood in the streets, blood on your hands. What was that thing?
Oh, bloodbath.
Bloodbath. Yeah,
with the whole Mexican car import thing.
Yeah. But so he's had one event since he locked up the nomination. Biden, on the other hand, visited five cities, multi-day trip last week. He has visited every battleground state since he did his State of the Union, and he locked up the nomination. My theory on that is Trump realizes we're 8 months away and, you know, my people are with me and et cetera. Whereas Biden has gotten a never-ending series of op-eds in newspapers saying he needs to step down because he's too old if he can't prove he's got the vigor to campaign. And so he's out there trying to just allay his detractors.
Yeah, I think that's a great description of it. You could just say Trump's ahead in the polls. Why mess with it? Biden's behind, so he's got to mess with it.
Yeah, I think just Biden's got his own internal. He's got to prove he can campaign. Trump doesn't need to prove he can campaign.
No.
And does campaigning do you any good 8.5 months out? Nobody knows. You know why? Nobody's ever done this before. We've never had a 9-month presidential election. Nobody has any idea if there's any point in campaigning 9 months out. Because it used to be like a 60-day sprint to the election up until not that many years ago. But all right.
It's like your dentist coming to you and saying, hey, we've got this new program. It's a 3-day oral surgery. Are you interested? No, I am not.
So Joe Biden, with a snarky text, tweet. Anyway, Trump doesn't tweet. He does Truth Social. But then you respond with a tweet. Whatever. It's a post. So Joe Biden with a snarky post from Donald Trump. Congratulations, Donald. Quite the accomplishment. What was he responding to? Trump posted this yesterday. It is my honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight, awards night in all caps, to receive, in all caps, the Club Championship Trophy and the Senior Club Championship Trophy. I won both! Exclamation point, all caps.
Oh.
A large engulfing talented membership, a great and difficult course, made the play very exciting. The qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting. Thank you! Many exclamation points. So he won both the club championship and the senior club championship trophy at his golf club.
I'm sorry. As a golfer, I have sworn various oaths, and I cannot violate them. That's ridiculous. he must be a complete cheating sandbagger or a much, much better golfer than he is. That's ridiculous.
This is not about presidential candidates or politics. No. This is just a golf question I have here.
Mm-hmm.
Do, like, the most powerful people at the golf club regularly win? Or is that a thing places or not?
Well, I've never played anywhere where the owner is an active member.
Okay. If I own a golf club, I'm winning the damn championship every year. I'm telling you that right now. Why? What's the point of owning the place if I'm not going to win every year? I want the trophy.
Welcome to Napoleon Greens.
I'll hire, we'll play two-man team or whatever. I'll hire, you know, whoever I got to hire to play with me, and I'm going to win. That's the whole point of owning the thing.
Unbelievable.
Who is Trump playing with, I wonder?
That's probably an individual event, the club championship.
Okay.
In fact, it's almost certainly an individual event.
How often do people that are almost 80 win golf tournaments?
Yeah, where there are probably a couple of tour pros or former tour pros or scratch players or even plus handicaps there. Yeah, it's again, I say it's ridiculous.
I don't know anything about this. The fact that it's in all capital letters with the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Speaking of golf, I gave myself one of my more ridiculous injuries in my long and auspicious career of ridiculous injuries. Any golfer should know that when you come out of a sand trap, you tap the sand out of your golf shoes so you don't track it across the green.
Mm.
And I'm good for, like, once every 4 years or so I do this, like often coinciding with the presidential years. I swung and I missed my foot and hit myself right in the shin with the leading edge of the sand wedge. And, you know, like I said, I've done that before, but this time, for whatever reason, it swelled up like half a baseball.
Oh, my God. So you beat yourself with a golf club.
Oh, yeah, to the point that I was visibly injured. So I had to go to the clubhouse in between nines and get ice. So I rode around on the back nine, pressing ice on my shin, get out, hit a shot, get back in the cart, press ice.
Did anybody see you beat yourself with a golf club?
No, there are no witnesses, but the after effects were discussed amongst the group. Yes, they were aware of it. Joe beat himself into submission.
Wow. Speaking of sports, it looks like the most highly paid athlete in America hired George Santos to be his interpreter.
Yes, I know where you're going with this.
It turns out that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who either has a gambling problem and Shohei Ohtani paid him, or Shohei Ohtani's gambling, or the guy stole from him, or whatever, had lied about everything on his resume. How he ended up being the interpreter for the most highly paid athlete in America, I don't know how that process started, but as they started digging into the guy's background, I was an interpreter for the Boston Red Sox for 4 years for a player. Okay, we went and asked him. They say you never worked there. Yeah, well, I graduated from UC Riverside, and I got it. Yeah, we just checked with them. You never went to school there. How did this guy end up?
Was he in the top half of his law class, and did he get 3 degrees?
How did this guy end up in a situation where he's got the banking account information for a guy who signed a $700 million contract?
I'll bet he doesn't speak Japanese.
Michael's theory is all of his interpretations have been made up all these years. Yes, he answered, he really likes it here in America and especially likes the food.
And would like to thank the fans for coming out today. Yeah.
And then the reporter asks a question and he turns to Shohei Ohtani and says, I don't know.
Wait a minute, how would that work? Anyway, let's not get hung up on it. Couple of That's stories. Hilarious. Illustrating a couple of statistics you will hear quoted at you during the election year that are utter bunk. Can't wait to get to that, among other things.
Cool. And we got Katie's headlines on the way. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. It's if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do we let tech companies profit off nude deepfakes, asks the New York Times. Maybe we'll get into that topic later.
Oh, boy. And in the most predictable man-made disaster in recent history, a California state law set to raise fast food workers' wages in April to $20 an hour has already resulted in the layoff of thousands of workers. Other operators say they've halted hiring or are scaling back workers' hours.
We got to go more deeper on that story.
Well, I would agree. My question being, and we don't have time to even try to answer it now, why, given how obvious and unavoidable this was, the left went ahead and pressed ahead with it? But more of that to come. Let's figure out who's reporting what. It's the lead story with Katie Green. Katie.
Thank you, guys. From ABC News. Harris won't say why Biden campaign is on TikTok despite security concerns.
That's an interesting one. So both the president and the vice president have TikTok accounts. While the president's saying he would sign a law banning TikTok because it's so dangerous for America. That's a weird way to lead. I mean, so his party has the Senate. The story right now is that the Senate won't take up the TikTok bill. Well, if the president's on TikTok, it's hard to imagine he's going to lead his party to bring up the bill and ban it.
Virtually everybody really pissed off about a ban of TikTok would be a young Democrat. That's it.
That's the whole story, you think?
Yeah, so they're sticking on there, trying to reach those people, desperately clinging to the youth vote. The youth vote for a senile old man.
From NBC News, some nervous travelers are changing their flights simply to avoid Boeing airplanes.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
From Breitbart.com, Kamala Harris claps along to Puerto Rican protest song before realizing it's about her.
I saw that.
I missed it.
I put this video at armstrongandgetty.com so you can see it. It's hilarious. Somebody comes over and obviously goes, the song is about you and you shouldn't be clapping. And she kind of slowly stops.
Yeah, they're singing a song to her and she's clapping along. It must be some sort of Up with Kamala song and not Why Are You Engaging in Genocide?
Whoops.
From the Huffington Post. California man arrested for allegedly taking and eating the leg of a person killed by a train.
You're not supposed to do that? I thought we had roadkill laws.
Oh, jeez. There was a video that went viral over the weekend, and this guy was clearly under the influence of something, a street person, and he had gone up to the scene of where a guy got hit by a train, took the leg, and was eating it.
All right, so my question is, what are the odds that a man with the inclination to eat a leg, should he find one, happens to come across one?
Right. That's his lucky day.
You see what I'm saying?
That's his lucky day. You might have cannibalistic tendencies, but you never come across some fresh human that you get to indulge yourself.
That is an odd and troubling story, Katie. I want more details.
He must have thought this on Japan. Everything's coming up Chet, or whatever his name is. And thought this
the
is
first
lucky
guy
day.
On the scene of a leg severing is a guy with a taste for, well, leg. Wow.
From the Wall Street Journal.
Everything's coming up, Chet.
Fireworks and confetti. Apple video feature wreaks havoc at meetings. They put a new feature on their Apple video platform. And apparently people keep setting off the confetti that pops at the top of the screen and falls down.
So is there yet another meeting platform? I can't do this because when we have a meetings, is it Zoom or Teams or Flibowitz or whatever? And have I downloaded that and uploaded the latest version? And
they want a five-step password interaction. Right,
yeah, exactly.
I just like the wording on this one. From the New York Post. Gen Z couple stunned to discover that they got pregnant a week after meeting.
Huh. I think there's a certain... There are steps involved in how that happened.
They were stunned.
Do tell.
And stunned.
Stunned. What? Pregnant? What?
From Radar Online. Too many preachy females. Ex-Clinton advisor James Carville says woke stuff is killing us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to read that whole quote later. That is really something. James Carville, he might be around the bend, but he is a Democratic strategist, helped get Bill Clinton elected 40 years ago. 30 years ago? 40 years ago. 30 years ago.
30-ish.
That's still a long time. And
yes.
He said some strong stuff about what's going wrong with the Biden campaign. We'll get to that later.
Well, he may be around the bend, but he's right.
Yeah.
And finally, the Babylon Bee. National Guardsmen being trampled by migrants. Glad to hear we're not being invaded.
Yeah, we'll play some more clips from the 60 Minutes interview last night with the current president of Mexico. He doesn't have a lot of concern for our problem.
I sympathize with him on that. AMLO is a socialist, a Hugo Chavez cartel courting, just wreck of a president. On the other hand, our border is our responsibility. Now, if we can get him to cooperate in various ways, that's to be desired, and that's fine. I get that. But for us to just completely lay down our responsibilities and say, well, he's not helping enough,
right. That's
pathetic.
5% of the murders in Mexico get prosecuted. Probably a lot smaller number than that, because that number is of those that ever get, you know, anybody reports the murder. How many murders don't get reported at all in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Like, statistically, as they point out in 60 Minutes, murders are down in Mexico, but a lot of that because people have just given up or are too scared to report murders.
Well, and they've pulled way back on enforcement. It's like, it reminds me of arrests are down in various American cities for various crimes. It's because the cops have stopped patrolling and arresting people. AMLO has said, we're going to be fighting the cartels and having people die. Well, and I get the appeal of that idea, but the reality of it is the cartels have taken over vast swaths of the country.
Yeah, and he dissolved the federal police and put in some sort of new guard thingy that he put together. And he's, many people think, too cozy with the cartels, so...
Yeah, yeah. Studies show that 2/3 of statistics are dishonest or useless or counterproductive. So stay with us for a couple of great examples of that.
Oh, I love that sort of thing. Always have liked that sort of thing. Make me more cynical. That's our job today, to make everyone more cynical.
Yes.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.